verse 4 says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." For 18 years, my wife and I, we've been here at the church, and it has absolutely blown me away, and I'm so honored to be here. I've heard Pastor talk about generational transfer for years. Matter of fact, when I came here initially with the school leadership, you know, I told Pastor, I said, "Pastor, may we call a generation and may we serve them. May they not just come to serve our vision, but may we serve them as they prepare for God's call upon their life. They're coming to be served, not to serve." And from the very get-go, there's a heart connect with Pastor Stephen. He loves us. He cares for us. He's thought ahead for us. From everything from purchasing the Generations property to the children's ministry to the young adult ministry to the union. I couldn't believe it when he hired Mike. But anyway, it's we're still working through that and overcoming that. So that's okay. But all of us are his loved ones. Amen. I've heard him say, talking about how our ceiling should be the next generation's floor. And it's happened. Here we are. Even the forethought of hiring our next lead pastor, or who that should be. He didn't know when he came as a young lad of 10 years old, but now this year we'll honor him and what God's going to do in his life. And I thank the Lord that pastor's not going anywhere. Amen. So I keep telling Corey, I said, "Buddy," I said, "PC," I said, "the awesome thing about what's happening here at Christian Life is it's not, I like the saying, God can only anoint you when you're being you. He can't anoint you trying to be somebody else." And the awesome thing about the transition that will happen later on this year is that PC can be PC, and Pastor can be Pastor, and PJ can be PJ, and Mike, God forbid, can be Mike, and... and Pastor Glenn can grow hair. And the list goes on and on and on, trusting God for great miracles. So we're in a good season. At some point, he's going to let loose on me and just beat the snot out of me. But Pat, how many got? I know when Pastor Bella came years ago, she said the thing that blew her away and attracted her to this church was that children are truly celebrated. They're not tolerated. And she came on a Sunday when Pastor Frank was praying over the kids and the families. She said that sold her. Oh, and by the way, you need to give Pastor Bella a high five. She won the Next Generation Award for the year from our district. So... God has been so faithful through the years, and it's truly an honor to be here. I want to talk to you today about generational transfer from generation to generation. And we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Throughout the book of Hebrews, it was primarily written to Jewish Christians, but its readers are always encouraged to look to Jesus for salvation, to look for his soon and coming return, and to keep their faith in him. The major theme throughout the book of Hebrews is one of perseverance. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily besets us or trips us up." It says, "Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." And we need to keep we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. So we come from a rich heritage, and we have a bright future to look forward to. In order to do that, I want to talk to you today about three steps that it's going to take for us to be a part of a generational transfer. Everybody look to your neighbor and say, "You're not too old." There's a fight in the back over there. No. And stripping off weights. If you look to your notes, stripping off weights may not necessarily be sin, but it may be something that it's a waste of your time. The enemy doesn't care what we're busy about, as long as we're not busy about the Father's business. One down. All right, here. Let me ask you this. What are you doing with the time that God's given you here on earth? What are you doing with the treasures and the talent that God's given you? Why am I here? I'm talking with some men right now, and Roy's in there, so he's a good brother. He's keeping me straight, walking the straight and narrow. Amen. Hopefully. All right, there you say amen. But one thing we're talking about, we're reading a book that it's been around for a long time. It's called The Man in the Mirror. And one question that it asks is, why am I here? If you can keep that in mind, that will help you navigate through life and not get too busy with things that are good, but keep busy about things that are of God. There's a huge difference. And matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves can break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust can consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be also." How many guys have ever been interested in a car? Like, for me, I like the Toyota Tacoma. It's a little big man's truck, right? I don't want the Tundra. I'll get lost in that cab. But, man, I sure do like the Tacoma. I get out of that thing and walk like I'm John Warren. Yeah, sure, buddy. Now my son wants the truck, and we're trying to negotiate a price on that so I can get me a better truck, another Toyota Tacoma. But he's like, "Dad, come on, give me a break. That thing's so old." But anyway, how many guys have ever noticed that when you're pursuing something, you develop a passion for it? Like, if you're looking, like my wife, she recently got a RAV4, a Toyota RAV4. Everywhere we went, we started recognizing, there's another one. And now that we have one, there's a lot of those things out there. We've actually gone to the wrong RAV4 and tried to get in it at times, realizing that that's not Mandy's. We need to slowly walk away and act like we weren't trying to break in. So, let me ask you this. What weights do you need to set aside? For real. Like, are you busy climbing the corporate ladder only to find out when you show up to heaven you have little to show for the time that God gave you here on earth? And today, if you've never heard me preach before, I'm not mad. I'm in the same boat with you, and I want you to enjoy the misery that I live in, all right? So you're included today. Welcome to the family, amen? Why am I here? With Braden, all the time I'm saying, "Buddy," I said, number one, matter of fact, he's on the golf team now. And if you have Masters tickets, I'll pay high dollars for it. I'll sell drugs for it. I'll do something for a Master. No, I'm just kidding, kinda. Anyway, I keep telling Braden, "Buddy, your number one goal is to glorify God. That's your number one goal. It's to glorify God. Number two, you play your own game. And number three, you have fun and swing loose." And that little rascal, he's out driving me by like 20 and 30 and 40 yards. I actually tee off at the old man's tees now, and he still gets me. Matter of fact, we were playing the other day, since I'm up a couple sets of tees, I'm watching this older gentleman stand behind Braden, and after Braden's hit, he just clocked it, wham. And that guy mouthed, he said, "I hate you." I said, if he wasn't my son, I'd hate him too. But I have to go get beat on for like 9 or 18 holes, and he does it on a regular basis. I'll talk smack to him to try to intimidate him. He laughs at me. I'll leave that alone. So you guys just need to keep praying, all right? Because it's nasty right now out there. But anyway, guys, I'm telling you what weight's slowing you down in the race? When I get to heaven, I want to get there. I want to finish the race with the wind in my face. And I want to get there, and I want the Father to be able to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I like Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "God's not unjust to forget our work of labor and love that we've shown towards the saints and that we continue to help them." Are you a part of generational transfer here at the church or at your home? Or are you too busy staying busy with the enemy's business? And I'm not saying you're serving the Satan, but I do like that saying, busy stands for bound under Satan's yoke. Bound under Satan's yoke. I don't want to be bound. I don't want to get caught up in the rat race. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I don't want to get caught up trying to outdo the Joneses. Yeah. Brother Jones, who just played the guitar, he's a blessing. I don't mind if he lays hands on me and I can play the ukulele like he does, or the guitar, or whatever other instrument. That guy's anointed. When I first saw him, I said, "Man, he kind of looks like David Polk." Didn't he? Yeah. Let me ask you this, or I'll say this. For everything that we say yes to, we say no to something else. Right. What have you said yes to that you should have said no to? Do you know that no can be the most anointed word you say? Or no, or not now, or I'm not able to, or I was talking to a spiritual son of the faith that's up in Pennsylvania, and I said, "Buddy," I said, "the church is going to make all kinds of demands on you. Sometimes the best thing you can do is say no. Because if you don't protect your family, nobody else will." Thank the Lord that at our church, our children are not tolerated, they're celebrated. Amen. Also, let me ask you this. As far as generational transfer goes, I want to talk to the younger generation. How many guys are 25 or under? Raise your hand. You guys, PC, put your hand down. I'm up here trying to preach and you're down there lying. How am I supposed to do this up here? Listen to me, you young pups. I used to be one about 55 years ago. No. Listen, the years will teach what the days never know. If we're going to be a part of generational transfer, we're going to have to walk in humility and honor. Yes. I'll never, never forget, and I pray Braden doesn't either, the day that we went over and we sat down and we listened to Mr. Bernie Grossman tell us Vietnam stories. I'll never forget that. I pray Braden, he showed us his Purple Heart. He told us all, he used some colorful language, which I heeded warning to Braden. I said, "Buddy, these are war words, okay? He doesn't mean bad by these. He'll probably, like when you get shot, you don't say, "Man, that really hurt." You know, that just, "Dag nabbit, you sucker, I'm going to get you," you know? I mean, shucks. At least, I don't think I would if I got shot, but whatever. Sometimes when your cup gets bumped, whatever's in there just kind of comes out, doesn't it? But I'll never forget that, because when Mr. Bernie, he sat down, he put his arms back on that couch, he said, "Let me tell you about Bernie Grossman." For the next 3 hours, he unloaded on us. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. That's generational transfer. It's letting the older speak into the younger. You hear me, young people? Who's 25 and under? You got your whole life ahead of you. See, our society is so messed up because what it wants to do is it wants to euthanize everything that's over a certain age. And that's so wrong. We're missing out on generational transfer. And I'm so thankful that Braden listened to Mr. Bernie. I'll never forget leaving. I did Mr. Joe Alderman's funeral. And when after I got done leaving Mr. Joe's funeral, Mr. Bernie looked at me and goes, "You're hired." I said, "What am I hired for?" He goes, "You're going to do my funeral." I said, no way. "You're going to do mine." He goes, "No." He just laughed at me. But then I had the honor of doing it. I told Mrs. Roz last week, I said, "Man, I miss Mr. Bernie so much. I miss him." But guys, we have a wealth of knowledge in here. And we should all be about generational transfer. So you younger, you need to humble yourselves. You need to honor the older. Now I'm going to talk to us older people now. And I'm in. I know I'm in. I get all the text messages about the seniors events. I'm not going yet. The first one I got, I wanted to go into Mr. Tom and I want to say, "Bro, come on, what the letter are you talking about? I'm not old. I'm not a senior." He goes, "How old are you?" I said, 57. He goes, "We start sending those when you're 55. Dag nabbit, you need to up that age limit. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. But so there's nothing wrong to being older. Amen, Robert. Listen, us older people, we need to be humble as well. And we need to honor our younger generation. If we ever want to be written off, all we have to do is act like we know everything. Anytime that we appoint ourselves somebody's judge or jury, they'll never let us join their journey. You young folk, you need to be saying amen. Preach it hard, you old man. All right. I'm not going to say nothing. They're going to quit paying my bills, my phone bill, my insurance, listen, we know your game. We know your game. Got it figured out. But listen, we need generational transfer. We really do. So when they do come, I love the fact that Braden is now, I don't like it, but I do like it. When we got here, he was 3 months old. He weighed about 15 pounds. It was like 5 pounds in this cheek, 5 pounds in this cheek, and the rest of the body was another 5. And now he's asking me questions about life, and he's listening. He's not acting like he knows everything, or I'll punch him, all right? And then I won't even trust God to raise him from the dead either. I'll just go ahead and lay him out. I'm just kidding sometimes. But anyway, I love the fact that he's now asking life questions. He's now asking life questions, and he's open to hear. I love that. It shows a sign of maturity. But guys, anytime I come across as judgmental, especially if I come across as hypocritical, he cuts me off. I've got to live it. I like the saying, it takes a free man to set a man free. Amen, Robert. Go for it, brother. All right, So number one, I have to lay aside the weight. Your weight might not be sin, but it may be something that's preoccupying your time that it's not of any eternal worth or significance. It might not be of any benefit to you relationally, spiritually, emotionally, or even physically. It may be something that the world's baiting you into to pursue so that you waste your time. Secondly, we have to strip off the sin that trips us up. Hebrews talks about. By God's grace, we don't have to live a life enslaved to sin. Amen. I am what I am by the grace of God. Romans chapter 6, it tells me, and I believe it, that I don't have to be a slave of sin, that I can be a slave of righteousness. I want to go back to that saying I said earlier. It takes a free man to set a man free. If we call ourselves Christians, number one, we need to mess up. We need to fess up when we mess up. Amen. When I make a mistake, I need to apologize to my wife, my kids, my coworkers. When I'm not acting like Christ, I need to apologize. But secondly, let me ask you this. What kind of hope are you offering to a world that can't do anything but sin? They're enslaved by it. We don't have to be enslaved by it because of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed. I love the teach pastor. I love what he says. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. We're being saved from the power of sin. And there's a day that we're going to be delivered from the presence or even the possibility of sin. Let me ask you this. Are you making the Word of God a living reality, or is it just a virtual reality? When people get close to you and they really get to know you, do you make the Word of God alive? It is alive. But can others tell who you love by how you live? Can others really tell what you believe by how you behave? And it should start at home, right? And guys, I'm so not here to condemn. I'm so not here to beat you up today. I mean, I'm not. But I want you to join the misery that I'm walking in right now. You know, we don't hear this as much anymore. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus Christ. We're messing up. We're messing up because we need to walk in freedom from sin and not be bound by it. We need each other. We really do. And you might say, Listen, your disciplines won't set you free, but your disciplines set you up to encounter the living God who can set you free. His character is produced through us, not by us. And as I lean into his word, as I renew my mind according to his word, and as I allow other people to hold me accountable, I can be set free from sin. I don't have to be a slave of it any longer. I don't have to be a slave. I was talking to a man one time. This happened years ago, and there's no way you can figure out who this is so I can say it. But he was studying to go and be a chaplain. And he was absolutely bound by pornography. And so we're hanging out at Cracker Barrel where they make the Lord's biscuits. They make the Lord's chicken at Chick-fil-A, but man, you can't hardly beat a chick, you know what I'm saying. Down here, their biscuits, they're really tasty, right? So we're sitting down there, and he's reading a lesson that I used to teach at the school about pornography and being set free from that. And we did not agree theologically, because he was like, I can't break it. I said, yeah, you can. But there's a couple things that we need to consider. Number one, is that sin stronger than the blood of Jesus Christ? And I'm not here to condemn you. I love you, bro. I love you. But you've got to be set free from that by the grace of the living God. Lean into God and then look for accountability and then renew your mind to the word of God's word. He had a whole lesson, but he said, I don't believe that. And it broke my heart. And again, I'm not condemning. I said, here, have another biscuit. No, I didn't say, but it broke my heart because I'll never forget when my brother was alive. He was in the Marines. And there's a chaplain trying to minister to him one day. And my brother cussed him, which he had a gift of cussing. It's kind of like a fruit of the spirit, the wrong one, but he operated in it on a regular basis, all right? So anyway, he told the Navy chaplain in so many kind words to be quiet. He said, when you start living your life like my little brother does, then you can talk to me about your Jesus. And I was his only little brother, which by the grace of God, he accepted Jesus Christ right before he died. I got to lead him to the Lord. It was so cool. Still a little rough with his language, but it was all as good, hopefully, in Jesus' name. So let me ask you this. How many guys know that as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to live it and not just talk about it, right? All right, I'm not going to get in too much trouble. I'm sticking to my notes today, so I don't have to leave you with regrets, all right? So the third thing I want to talk about, which I've lost. Did I leave any of my notes down there? Oh, Jesus, I left my notes somewhere. All right, here we go. The third thing that we're going to do, because I've got this one. Oh, here they are. Woo, found them. Don't worry. Search is off. I was about to holler for search and rescue. Roy, help me, Jesus. All right. Also, let me ask you this. What steps do you need to take to be set free from sin? I said earlier in the first service, I thank God for PC. I got to call him PC, Pastor Corey, Pastor Corey, Pastor. I thank God for Pastor Corey, and I thank God for Glenn every once in a while. But anyway, and the reason I'm thankful for primarily Pastor Corey and sometimes Glenn, Pastor Glenn, I'm sorry, is because I can be open and honest to them about anything. They're my accountability brothers. I can bare my soul to them. I can take off my armor and say, this is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Help me, Jesus. There's no holding back. Do you know that we all need each other? All of us need fellowship. All of us. Listen, Proverbs 18:1, it talks about a man who isolates himself goes against all wise judgment. Years ago, I heard the saying, sin revealed is sin that's lost its power. I don't want to live isolated. I don't want to live separated. I want to live in community. I want to live with my brothers. I want to be open and honest and transparent. I really, because there's freedom in that. There's freedom in that. We all need each other. Everybody look to your neighbor and say, we need each other. All right. The last thing that I want to address here is we also, so number one, we need to strip off any weights. We need to strip off the sin. And lastly, we also need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Christ's ability to focus on the eternal, his love for God and his love for us, gave him the courage and the joy in the midst of pain and suffering, not to fatigue, not to become discouraged, not to despair, or not to become disillusioned. Jesus kept giving and giving and giving to the very end. He came not to do his own will, but he came to do the will of the one who sent him. Amen. What an example. Amen. Let me ask you this. What or who has caused you to take your eyes off of Jesus? Is it your pain? Is it sickness? Is it sorrow? Is it a divorce? Is it a lost loved one? Is it disappointment? Is it disillusionment? Let me ask you this. Is it a fallen leader? Somebody that you thought, man, they'll never mess up. Now they mess up and you're like, oh boy. How much weight do you think that'll hold when you get up to the Father and you give an account for the life that you've lived? Well, I was doing really good till my wife left me. And then I decided to turn my back on you because I couldn't understand why she left me. Well, that'll hold a whole lot of weight, right? Or how much weight will, and honestly, I've talked to people who've walked away from God, and I've challenged them with that mindset. I said, buddy, don't base your faith on people that you need to follow Jesus Christ, not a person. And I'm not going to allow other people's decisions to determine my direction. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of my faith. And I know I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, although my wife thinks I am. She was in the first service. I can say that and just have fun with that one. But yeah, no, her number is 803. No, I'm just, don't call. But guys, listen, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. I don't care. Listen, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he's struggling with Parkinson's, and he's younger than I am. And Bob Sandler, who's our district superintendent, he said, Darren, he said, you're our poster child for Parkinson's. I said, take me off the poster. I don't want on that poster. What the lead's at, you know? I want to be on the bodybuilder poster. I'm not even going there. I'll slip a disc trying to flex. That's a scary thought. But anyway, so what he'll do is, like, if somebody's diagnosed with Parkinson's, he'll have them call me. And I have a friend of mine who's in his 30s, and he has Parkinson's. And so we were talking the other day. We've had some very candid conversations because he'll let me he'll say, you can identify with what I'm going through. I said, to an extent. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not gonna put my wife through hell because I'm going through it physically. I'm not gonna put my wife through emotional hell as I head to heaven. That's not right. Now, I don't care how despondent, how much anxiety, how much pressure, how much depression you have, we need to leave a godly legacy. We need to leave a godly legacy. We need to have generational transfer. And I've been very honest with him and very candid. He'll say, I appreciate your candidness. And I'll say, I appreciate you still call me friend, all right? Because I've been very honest with him. I said, buddy, I said, if God opts to heal me this side of heaven, thank the Lord God Almighty. I'll take it. Amen. But if he opts not to and he wants to use me through it all, to God be the glory for the things that he has done. I want to glorify God in my living and I want to glorify God in my dying. That's where I come from. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's about living for that which is eternal, that which is unseen, not that which is seen. That's what it's all about. So let me ask you this. What has caused you to take your eyes off of Jesus? And how has that affected your life? Are you depressed? Are you disillusioned? Because as humans, we so mess up in our fallenness because we love to exalt people. We love to put people up on pedestals. And then when they fall, we love to judge them and write them off and cancel them. I pray to the living God that one day you don't feel canceled by the Father. Because you chose to take your eyes off of him and you chose to serve man. And you became disillusioned and you went apostate. You walked away from the living God. God is so worth keeping our focus on. He's so worth it. So worth it. He's worthy of all praise and honor and glory. He's the redeemer of all mankind. He's the creator of all. Amen? Amen. He's the creator of all. And I want to be a part of generational transfer. I want to finish the race well. I want to set aside weights that are not eternal. And you might say, well, do you do anything that's fun? Yeah, I golf with my son about pretty much every week. And you can get us Masters tickets again if you want. I'll suffer for Jesus at the Masters, all right? I want to read this to you. I forgot this earlier. It says, but mark this, in the end times, there will be terrible times. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good. They'll be treacherous, rash, conceited. They'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And get this, they'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny his power. Mm-mm, buddy, not me. By the grace of God, I'm going to lean into God. By the grace of God, I'm going to set aside every sin that would trip me up. By the grace of God. And guys, I say by the grace of God over and over because I know, like I said earlier, my disciplines don't set me free, but my disciplines set me up to encounter the living God who can set me free. We do not, guys, I think the church, one of the reasons that we're somewhat the laughing stock of our society is because we're not living it out. We're not. Who we are in private is not who we are in public. We're more concerned about our public image than our private character. We're unwilling to lovingly call people up and make relational investments to where we can speak truth to them in a loving way. Amen. Just this past week, I was with some friends who I thought were living in a way that didn't please God. And I asked them point blank. I said, you guys know you're living in sin? I thought they were going to swallow their tongue. They were like, why do you say that? And I went on to expound on why I thought they were, and they were. And then I backed up. I said, please forgive me. I said, I love you so much. Do you hear me? I love you. And the reason I ask you that point blank is because I want your rear end in heaven with me. We can't live a life that's counterculture to the Word of God on a regular basis and expect to go to heaven. I don't see it in Scripture anywhere. I love you and I care for you with all my heart. And guys, I said that to my brother over and over. Matter of fact, before he went to fight in the Middle East during the shock and awe with Bush, I went up and he wanted me to come up and talk to him about the Lord. I go up there to talk to him about the Lord, and that punk, he never wanted to pray. I didn't laugh. I wanted to punch him. But I was afraid he'd beat me up. You know, he's a Marine. Hur, you know, hoorah. Semper Fi, baby. You know? So, but I kept, there's several times even throughout his life, I'd call him back up and I'd say, Dave, I love you. Heaven will not be the same without you. Heaven will not be the same without you. I love you. And so finally, he'd gotten 8 tumors on his brain. He had tumors in his chest from smoking so much. And he was literally on the verge of dying. And I went up to Virginia to spend time with my brother. And then I took another trip. So I'm in there. And this nurse walks in. She goes, son, are you related to him? I said, yes, ma'am. That's my big brother. She goes, do you mind taking that tape off of him? Because every time I take that tape off him, he looks like he's going to kill me. And I said, I'll be happy to. And I leaned around, and he looked at me. She said, see, he's looking like he's going to kill you too. And I said, yes, ma'am, he does, but he can't right now, so I'll do it. So before the rest of my family got in there with my brother, he texted me that morning. He said, hey, Rocky, he always called me Rocky. He said, can you come in? I want to spend some time with you alone. I walked in there. Man, we talked about the Lord. I said, man, I love you. You hear me? I love you. You're my big brother. And I love you with all my heart. Last time he heard me preach, he came up after I was done preaching, put his arms around me. He wept like a baby. He said, Rocky, I've wasted my life. I've wasted it. I said, no, you haven't. I love you with all my heart. Because see, love can be the most powerful force on earth. Amen. Rarely will we ever judge somebody into the kingdom of God, but we sure can love them in, right? So then I prayed with my brother. He prayed the prayer of salvation, wanted to accept the Lord and surrender his life. I left. Then I came back a couple weeks later and they had called hospice in because there's nothing else they could do. Last time I saw my brother, I'm kissing him all over the forehead. I leaned over and I was just kissing him. I was, bro, I love you so much. He goes, I love you too, Rocky. Last time I saw my brother. Until heaven. Guys, we have to ask some hard questions, but we have to love people just as hard as we ask those questions. Because it's my relationship that gives me the right to speak truth. It's my relationship, and it's me, by the grace of God, living a life that's free from sin, that offers them hope. They have no hope if we call ourselves Christians, if we're bound in the same sin that they are, they'll laugh at our living God. Jesus has come to set us free from the penalty, the power, and even the possibility in the presence of sin in the future. I want us to go ahead and pray, okay? And then we're gonna take care of some family business here in just a little bit. So if you would just bow your head and close your eyes with me. Father, I encourage you. Father, I ask you that you'd move right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, that we as your sons and daughters, that we would humble ourselves, that we would be all about generational transfer. Father, that we would lay aside every weight, which doesn't even necessarily have to be sin, but it can just be busyness of life. It could be the rat race. May we lay aside every weight. May we lay aside every sin by the grace of God. And may we keep our eyes fixed on you. Nothing or no one is worth taking our eyes off of you. I don't care what pain we go through, what disappointment, what disillusionment. None of those are worth taking our eyes off of you, Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. You're the champion. Father, may your grace abound in our lives, I pray. Father, may to God be the glory. Father, may we live a life making eternal investments. May we live in the now, investing for the future. In Jesus' name.